safe places. So we've been talking about creating safe places, and the theme that we started out with is the physical home. The physical home being the building that we call home, the place we call home for our children to be find safety. Today I'd like to speak on the more of the spiritual aspect of that and how we do this. So I'd like to start out by just giving you some background on what prompted me to have these talk on this topic. And I was recently with a group of peers of my age that we had went to Bible school with. I'm 54 years old, and so that kind of tells you the age period of what when I grew up. So these are primarily 50-year-old and older couples, and we met together to as a Bible school reunion. During that, there was a lot of reflection of why, from personally, on why these people chose the paths they did, and some of them ending up in places that wouldn't feel safe to us, or hopefully not. But the reflection I had was their home life and the surroundings that created to help them come to the decision and choices they did in their lives. So today, I want to break this up into two different segments. The segment I would like to speak about today is before our children give their heart to the Lord or of that age. So in that period of time, those children are dependent very heavily on their parents, and that is a critical stage in our child's development. So we think about that as what they feed on from a physical standpoint, and the health and the nutrition, diet. As parents, we're responsible for that. And that is very important, very critical, and it's something that is going to affect our children for the rest of their lives, and similar, their spiritual aspect of their development. So as we think of the spiritual development of our children, I want you to think about these different aspects and maybe have a little bit of discussion around this. And so as we think of the spiritual aspect, we think of the things, their playtime, their work ethic, who they play with, the games they play. The other thing I think about the rhythms that we create in our homes that are critical for a child's development, and the disciplines that we establish at that age are also impact our children. So what was interesting to me was the discussions that these 50-year-olds had, and a lot of these discussions reflected back on the things that the foundation that their parents had created for them at different levels and with different people. So, and it was also interesting to me that the different cultures that these people came from and what they reflected back on as valuable and what they saw our generation giving up for what they have today. One thing that was interesting to me was the general consensus of the group was the plague or the challenge that technology has brought to our culture. So if you haven't read the book by Gary Miller on technology tsunami, I would really highly recommend you read that. It's a book that our Brotherhood is committed to read in that reference to this, and he has a lot of practical application that would be worthy of discussion in your congregations. So let's talk about that a little bit, since that's such a one that's so out in front and center. But what has happened is one thing that we do is we model for our children whatever we do. So what we model for our children speaks far louder than what we say. because they're watching us. And when our words and our actions don't line up, it creates confusion for our children. So I was thinking about the starting out that age, we're not giving them cell phones. So that's, well, I certainly hope so. Or if they are allowed to be on a cell phone, it's very restricted. But there's things that are stealing the hearts of our children that shouldn't be. And one of those would be games that they play. I think the what's lost by a game that's played around the table with other children and the parents and adults, that type of thing, there's something's lost. And what that's lost is relationship. You can't be in a relationship with a piece of a device. In fact, what has happened is that has destroyed relationships and created another void. So as we think of the young children and guarding them and creating a safe place for them in the home, I think that has to be paramount in our discussion. And I think it's wise for us to be discussing that with them and why it's not. If we're not having those discussions and we're not talking to them about why we don't do this and why we don't do that and what it takes the place of, then we're missing the whole we'll miss the whole opportunity to bring them along and help them establish their own convictions and boundaries in their life. So on that note, I would just like to leave with you. Be thinking about, as you go through the week, you be thinking about what your children are playing, what the work they do, how you manage that as a parent, the disciplines that you put in their life, whether it's going to church, making it with the norm, not the abnorm, to be attending every service that your church has. That should be a non-negotiable. That should be something that is prioritized and be the exception to the rule and not the norm, that you would not support those activities. Our children see us. Our children are watching us. They're seeing what is important to us by what we do. And that is the that is what I want to leave with you. What are you communicating by what you do this week that your children are watching and understanding what your priorities are in the home as a leader? If they are out at play, who do they play with? Who do you allow them to play with? Who are you? Are you involved in that activity? What do you let them watch? What are they seeing? Do you protect them? Do you guard them from places that are going to have a lot of undress and nudity? Those things are something that need to be talked about between parents. No, we do not go there because there's just too many people that are not clothed. So we decided as a family that those are off limits for us. So that would be one area that I value, that people take their children to the mountains instead of taking them to the beach. If we would go to a beach, I would certainly hope that we would be going to a place that's private. Public beaches just certainly aren't the place for our children and for us. I also think of our devotions that we have with our children. How can we make those meaningful, that they aren't something above their heads? Your children should be asked to be pray. And as parents, we shouldn't be doing everything in the devotional period. It should be something that's interactive with our children. I believe at a very young age, our children could be part of the prayer process and our prayer list and people that they can be praying for. Take ownership of the prayer needs of our congregations and our neighborhoods and our friends. I think that's a critical element of stable family life. Couldn't would be doing an injustice if we wouldn't be talking about them, our marriages and what they're witnessing in our relationship with each other as husband and wife. That's probably one of the most critical aspects of role-playing for our children. What our children see, they repeat. And if we don't have a healthy relationship with as husband and wife, it has a detrimenting effect on our children. So I'm just going to leave you with that thought. I would like you to be thinking about what you're doing intentionally this week to establish a safe place for your children spiritually in your homes. God bless your week.